Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
When it comes to something, when the highlight of a game of football is eating a packet of smoky bacon. Welcome to Charlton Live. So a very good evening to you and welcome to this evening's Charlton Live. Coming to you live from the Valley here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me in the studio as we get ready to look back at yesterday's ball draw with Fleetwood Town is Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lewis?
Yes, good, mate. Yeah, how are you?
You've got the glow of a man who wasn't actually at the game yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I got away lightly yesterday.
Yeah, it was a really boring game of football, unfortunately, and we've got to try and drag an hour and a half out of it. But luckily for us, there was loads of protests, so we can talk about that as well. So on tonight's show, we will talk about the game. That won't take too long. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer, our exclusive interview with the Charlton manager afterwards. We'll also, of course, cover the protests here at the Valley yesterday. Crisps were thrown onto the pitch in protest against the owner, Roland du Châtelet. So we'll hear from some of the protagonists of that. We're also going to hear from someone from the Roland Out Today party. John Barnes has been out in, not the John Barnes, a John Barnes has been out in Belgium again this weekend. The Roland Out Today party are standing in a local election in Roland's hometown of St. Trudent later on in the year. So I wanted to find out what all that was about. They were over in Belgium themselves this weekend, so I spoke to him on the phone earlier on this afternoon. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on anything from yesterday, you can talk about the game, you can talk about Lee Bowyer's comments after the game if you want. You can also talk about the protests, anything you want to say for or against anything. You can email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There is a thread on there to discuss tonight's show. Right, Lewis, like, so you weren't at the game, so it's going to be quite difficult for you to talk specifically about the game. But I mean, just overall now, you'll look at two home games in a week. You know, you tend to aim for 4 points from two home games in a week. We've only come out with one. Add that to the start of the season, we're still only one win in five now. How are you seeing our start of the season, taking obviously into context everything that's going around the club at the same time?
I think it can kind of be expected with what's gone on in terms of squad depth and how the season's really kicked off. We've maybe not sort of got out of third gear yet. Tuesday night was was unfortunate, of course. We were, you know, I felt robbed Tuesday. So writing that off, I thought that maybe that would put a bit of fire in the bellies of the players to go out there and really thrash Fleetwood yesterday. But that seemed to not be the case, unfortunately.
I mean, with Fleetwood getting that 5-0 win during the week up at Scunthorpe, do you then think, well, maybe they're, you know, coming into a little bit of form and therefore a point isn't as bad?
Yeah, I mean...
Or am I desperately searching there for
maybe digging the positives. I think at home we've got to be making the place a bit of a fortress. And I know it's hard with what's going on, and you know, maybe the Valley's maybe not the nicest place to be playing football right now in terms of
a lot of crumbs everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of crumbs, exactly. You trip over crisps and stuff. But you know, in general, I think there's a bit of a feel about the place at the moment of just all about, you know, all round frustration of what's going on. So I think maybe Is that bleeding out onto the pitch a little bit potentially, but I don't know. I think as a start of the season, it's not been that great. But looking at what the cards we've been dealt in terms of squad depth and you know, being robbed on Tuesday night, I don't want to keep going over that one. But that, you know, that would have been a really important 3 points if we'd have managed to nick that.
Yeah.
But yesterday, obviously, maybe we weren't as up for it, and that's obviously where we've fallen short.
Funnily enough, Posh actually went and smashed 5 goals past Plymouth yesterday as well. So the two teams that have smashed 5 goals this week have only managed 1-0 against us. So maybe try and take a positive from that. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Don't forget, if you want to have your say, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. This is how it went down on Valley Pass yesterday.
We are underway here at the Valley with the ball going back to Nebisar into Bellick, who's playing in midfield. A little flick from Taylor into Grant. He's on the run, Carlin Grant, into the corner of the penalty area in his early minutes. It's a crisp come on the pitch, put a ball back in the box. Taylor, oh, off the line. Almost given Charlton an opening minute lead as Chris Peckett's rain onto the surface. The ref's going to hold things up here as more Chris. We're getting a few Peckett's, which is nice. Mostly in front of the covered end, it has to be said, although there are a few in the west end. One's just whizzed past me here, so that's aiming for the director's box, no question. A couple have exploded, so there are loose crisps on the pitch. Be interesting to see if any of the players need them for a snack later on.
That'd have been one hell of a story, that.
Your commentary there. Crisps.
It's Chris on the pitch, there's a goal. That would have been brilliant.
Well, it was close.
It's a great start from Charlton.
I wonder if the keeper would have complained that a crisp packet hit him on the head. That's why the goal went in.
Trying to get involved, but again, Aribo and Page stopped the movement. And Aribo sends Taylor away down the Charlton left. Takes the shot towards the edge of the penalty area. Straight down the throat of Alex Cairns.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that. I think there wasn't many players in him. Middle of the box, it was a decent effort from Taylor. Takes a little deflection, would cause goalkeeper all sorts of problems. Luckily for Cairns, it was straight
the touchline on the left-hand side. Ball into the box, a good one as well. A repo jumps,
what a ball in,
headed away, and it'll arrive at Chris Solly's feet. Chris Solly in the centre circle tries to switch it in the opposite direction. Bauer's there. Bauer header back across to Taylor. Oh, he just can't get there before it runs through to Alex Cairns. And Fleetwood now try to break quickly down the chop.
So Taylor on the right hand side, adjacent to the pounds here. Taylor in the pounds here. Lyle Taylor, ball across. Goal! Oh. Deflected over the bar by Morgan. Corner to Charlton.
Had to as well, because it would have hit. It would have come straight to Grant's feet had it not. First of all, superb work from Lewis Page. Rode a couple of challenges, and then it was a bouncing ball which would have been difficult to deal with. He just managed to get enough on it to scoop it left to his right, and the Charlton right, when spotted the run of Lyle Taylor, who then took his man on, got into the box, ball across, and had to be Morgan to clear it away.
Page will take the corner for Charlton. He's going to drill this in. Lewis Page with his left foot has done so towards the back post. Bauer's there. Bauer's won it, and straight in the goalkeeper.
Two on the trot. That's found Bauer on the edge of that penalty area, and both times Patrick Bauer can't place his header beyond the kick. Oh, that's a nice Taylor. Effort.
Oh, it was a cross come shot in the end from Taylor. Almost caught the goalkeeper out and instead went to the roof of the net.
No, he knew what he was doing there. I think he wanted a little bit more of an angle on it to hit it towards the left hand corner of the keeper's left hand, obviously. But just a little bit too central for that to have maximum effect, but a decent effort nonetheless.
Page going to get their first head of Burns. Bullied. Burns just muscles him off the ball. Burns chipped back to Evans, he'll go for goal, cross goal, and just wide. There's a little deflection off of Billick, I think.
Got very lucky.
Holt gets on the left-hand side, two in the box. Holt with the overlap of Husband. Holt still with it, finds Husband. Husband takes a touch, ball back to Burns, off the line.
What a superb block that is from Lewis Page.
And it's deflected back off of Evans. and the goal kick to Charlton, but Fleetwood should have scored there.
There you go.
And there is the half-time whistle to conclude a very stale first 45 minutes, which is appropriate as many stale crisps
you don't
on the
know
pitch at half-time. You imagine they are now.
Yummy.
Burns down to Madden, Jason to the pounds area. Madden chips it back towards Hunter to pounds here. Totally free. Hunter, great save from Phillips. Dives down to his left and makes an outstanding save.
Pressure from Page just to force him backwards. Ooh. And Coyle with an awkward ball towards Easterman. Grant's lurking and Easterman's guilty of possession. Now a rebound out left to Taylor. Throw on goal. Taylor cross goal. And cleared away by Easterman.
Just needed another half a yard on that ball across from Taylor. And
chips it into the crowded area. And it's headed up in the air by Grant, I think. Towards the back post, Cairns is nowhere to be seen. It's an awkward one for Solly to get under control. Heads down, it comes to Prattley on the edge of the box. And Grant for a
goal. Yeah, he's offside.
He's offside, but was that against Prattley, who left the ball? It was a quick flag from the linesman. Prattley didn't even touch the ball.
Oh, that needs to be seen again. Right to Solly. Solly's still got Prattley on his outside. Prattley tried to return the favour to Solly into the penalty area. Ball back across. Going to fall down. Rebound with a shot. Oh! Just wide left of the post. A lovely move from Charlton to open up Fleetwood. Chris Solly playing a huge part in that, as was Prattley. But the ball back across into the penalty area. Find a rebo unmarked. You hit the ball on the full. Just wide left of the post. A minute and a half gone of added time. Grant, corner into the edge of the six-yard box. And it's Letchley with a header. Cleared off the line. I didn't see who it was, but keeper was nowhere. Lapsley's header looked like it was goal-bound, but not. Page has it back for Charlton. Oh, he's lost out there, and he's thrown himself to the floor, and Charlton are in trouble here. Four on two. Martini on the right-hand side. Madden. Oh, it's blocked away by Chris Solly. He looks at his watch and blows the whistle, and there we are. A game which never really come to life.
It's amazing how much better a game sounds on the highlights than it did in real life. So a goalless draw in the end. And like I say, I mean, when you come into a home game like that, and with all due respect to Fleetwood, who have actually started the season pretty well, but you know, again, if we're talking about a team who are supposedly aiming for promotion, then you know, a home game against Fleetwood, much as like an away game against Accrington was last week, I mean, that's a game you've got to be targeting 3 points in.
Exactly, yeah, they're the games you want to be, especially at home, you want to be picking up the win.
And as I touched on crisps.
Yeah, rather than just picking up the crisps, yeah. But like, yeah, like we touched on earlier, the Valley has to be a fortress, really. Your home form is key in the division, and we should be beating teams like Fleetwood Town. Again, like you say, no disrespect, but we should be beating those sort of sides, and it looks like we started pretty brightly with that Taylor chance, and he scored straight away mid crisp gate. But you've got to be picking up maximum points.
Well, that is ironic, actually, that arguably our best chance up and before the last 10 minutes or so, when Ariba had a volley, was in that opening 20 seconds. Now Bowyer came out and said after, and we'll hear it on our exclusive interview with him as well, that he was actually thinking, oh, please stop throwing the crisp. But I mean, looking at it, it doesn't seem to make any difference. Charlton get down the wing, they have their chance, they have the shot on goal, it's cleared. Yeah. Then the game's only stopped by the time it goes out of play.
Exactly, but yeah. Everything, I think there was actually quite a few people on the line that probably would have cleared that.
Yeah.
As you say, the crisp gate was at its full whack after the chance had passed. So I don't think it would have caused too much.
Now, grief. Throughout the course of the game, I mean, as the game went on, I mean, you've seen now the disallowed goal from Carlin in the second half. So I think it was a corner that came in, got cleared out. I was actually panicking when the ball came down to Solly, because I thought there was two or three men charging out on him. He was one of the last men back for Charlton. He had to deal with it, so he just did what he had to do and just headed it back into the danger zone. Now, it just so happened to go through everyone. I think Prattley stepped over it. Carlin's gone through and goal, put it in the net. The flag's gone up immediately. Now, with the angles you've seen it from, and I've seen the replays from, it's quite hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the only angle I've seen have been on sort of the quick fire highlights, and to me it looks as if maybe he's just about onside or level, but it would be good to see it from another angle. Whether it clips him on the way through and played him offside, I don't know.
Because what I decided to do, I've actually slowed it down and watched it back and forth, and I just think, again, you don't get the perfect angle on the highlights, and so you're actually seeing how it was half a second after Solly's already headed it anyway, so we don't know where they were just before that. But at that point, both Grant and the defender seemed pretty static, and I think Grant was maybe half a yard off, which I think is why possibly the right decision. But again, I'd have to see it again. I mean, Prattley steps over it, whether he was in a more offside position beforehand and then it was decided that he was involved in play as well. We don't know.
It's typical when a referee makes a good decision, it goes against us, isn't it, after Tuesday?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I mean, throughout the game, the best chance probably fell to Joe Aribo. And that was with 11 minutes left. Then we had Lapsley in the last minute with a header cleared off the line. But I think one of the things that people were talking about after the game yesterday in the pub was we're just suffering a little bit from a lack of creativity at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing really, once it gets into the final third, we just seem to panic a little bit and snap at our chances. And we just haven't got that clinical edge about us yet. I mean, Aribo's chance yesterday, I think you should be burying that. I mean, there's sort of no one near him and he's just sort of managed to drag it wide.
Mm.
You know, George, unlucky to have his cleared off the line. And Carlin's offside one was actually quite a good finish.
Yeah.
But yeah, back on Aribo's one mainly, I think he should be scoring that. And I know he'll probably be really disappointed he didn't manage to bury that.
I mean, there was times during that game yesterday, and I'd say you were up at Accrington the week before, where we created a few chances. But I just think we are just calling out now for that someone. I mean, if we had Tariq Fosu, for example, in this team, and if we had, you know, the two strikers, they've got a couple of goals already so far this season. I do think they will score more often than not if given the service. But, you know, unfortunately on the wing, we're not really getting that at the moment. And I feel like we are desperately missing the likes of Tariq.
We are, massively. I've said from the start of the season, Tariq Fosu has been a huge miss. He just has that flair about him and that edge that you just feel when he's on the ball, you feel like something's going to happen and he's going to make things happen. And even, to be honest, a little bit with Ben Reeves towards the end of last season as well, he had something about him too. And but not even Reeves may have been inconsistent, but having that quality even on the bench is something that would obviously aid us in games like this. And you know, you'd look to someone like Mark Marshall to do that at the moment. That doesn't seem to be working. And then the two strikers, they both played 90 minutes Tuesday and played 90 minutes on up at Accrington. So they're going to be absolutely blowing as well. And it's just not having that rotation. It was good to see Igor back on the bench yesterday. I think if he gets some minutes under his belt, I know Boya sort of touched in the interview, we'll hear in a bit. He didn't do a huge amount when he came on yesterday, but he's a bit rusty, which is to be expected. But it's getting bodies back now. So I'm hoping now the bodies are slowly filtering back through the squad that we might maybe see a change in being a bit more clinical.
Yeah, that's one thing you guys can have your say on. If you let us know what you made of Igor's performance when he came off the bench for the last half an hour or so yesterday. Studio at CharltonLive.co.uk or tweet us at CharltonLive, because that's a player that the fans were calling from quite early on when he came out to warm up. They were calling his name. Remember how good he was when he first started at this club in the Championship. But his performances after his first major injury, even for Charlton, were pretty poor, if I'm being honest. So, you know, do you think he can still do that? Let us know. Another thing we've been talking about, decision-making. So, of course, we've been talking about creativity. Part of that probably is decision-making, and it's something that seems to have blighted Charlton the entire time I've ever watched him, to be fair. But, I mean, there was one standout one yesterday where Lyle Taylor got slipped in on the wing, tightish angle, but threw on goal, and he decided to square it. And now, you remember last week we were moaning that Carlin didn't square it when he was at an even tighter angle.
Yeah.
But this one, so I guess it's... You're damned if you do or if you don't in this case. But he tried to square it, it got cut out, and then Boya sort of came out after and said, "Oh, probably should have shot him." He talks about, excuse me, in the interview. But what can you do as a coach to make the players' decision making better?
I think it's difficult. Obviously, they're working on it in the week at the training ground and everything. I think maybe getting a few more mature heads in and around the place to aid it in training. You know, Billy Clark, Ben Reeves, those sort of people have been in the game a while. I mean, you're dealing with people making these decisions that are, you know, barely out of their 20s or are barely out of, you know, 18 to 20 years of age. You know, Carlin, he's only just turned 20, isn't he? 21?
Yeah, 21.
And then, you know, I know you've got Taylor there and he's played in the league a long time and he's got a bit of experience, but you've got people around you and you're sort of relying on those people to help you. So Lyle yesterday, he squared the ball because maybe he thought that was the best option. He thought to maybe not be greedy and play his man in. Unfortunately, it gets cut out. Carlin the week before, the young head sees the headlines, wants the goal, doesn't square it. The chance comes to nothing. So yeah, it's like you say, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But I think it's experience needed. Billy Clark, it would be incredible when Billy Clark comes back, because he will be so important.
Yeah, but I guess it's probably fair to point out as well that don't forget that Carlin Grant and Lyle Taylor are a very new strike partnership. You know, even Lyle missed a couple of weeks in pre-season as well. So for them to now be actively trying to find those links together, I mean, that's got to be a good thing, surely.
Yeah, definitely. And it's maybe it is just a slight lack of sharpness. And yeah, like you say, Lyle missed a bit of pre-season, maybe some of the vital parts of pre-season, but he's back in there now, and Carlin's really impressed me since he's come in. I mean, he's made a couple of mistakes, but it's to be expected when you're that young. But I've been really impressed with him, and hopefully, you know, the partnership sort of develops and matures a little bit. The decision making gets better as the weeks go on. But I think you see it from the outside that you want these things to happen instantly, and with the squad we have, maybe that's not going to be the case.
Now, one of the things I've written down in my notes from yesterday's game, and it's something I've sadly had to put in my notes quite a lot, because we're talking about the lack of creativity from the wing. And you know, Mark Marshall came in yesterday, and again, and it's still not clicking for him, and I just can't get my head around why it's not happening for him at Charlton.
No, and it's such a shame, because I think Nath touched on it last week that he was just so important for Bradford in that season when they got into that playoff final. And he's obviously got something about him because he's done it at this level, but it's just not clicking for him at all. Whether when he got injured at the start of the campaign last season, if that's rocked him and he never really caught up, because he was new at that point. He'd only just come into the club, so maybe he hadn't bedded in properly at that time. Your manager changes in March over to Boya. To be honest, I didn't really think Boya saw him as part of his plans. And now he's in there, but he's still not quite clicking. I mean, he played at a right wing back quite a lot in pre-season, which was peculiar. So you wonder whether he really knows where he fits into that 11, and maybe that's maybe work playing on his mind a little bit and preventing him from getting to his best. I'm not too sure, but I think again he's been in the game long enough to know better, and maybe people should be looking to him to provide something in a game like yesterday, a bit of magic, a bit of experience. But he's not really done it.
Talking about a bit of experience, though, someone who has really added a bit of bite and a bit of winning the ball back to the midfield, Darren Pratley. Now, again, you've seen him throughout the season so far. We weren't expecting him to come in so soon, but now he's getting his minutes straight from the off. And yesterday, he looks like he's got a real engine on him. And the amount of times he wins the ball back for Charlton in that midfield, that's got to be a positive. You know, effectively replacing Cashy from last season. We'll see about his passing still. We've still got to see about that. But he's certainly winning the ball back a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I've been so impressed with Darren Pratley since he came in. And I'm surprised, because there was a lot of negativity from the Bolton fans when he left. They seemed to be really happy to be shot of him, which if he was playing like that, I've no idea why, because he's committed and he's not the quickest player, of course. You know, he's maybe a bit leggy and stuff, but I saw him lose the ball up at Accrington, and he made an incredible run to go and win the ball back, and that's what the fans love. They love someone that's got, like you say, a bit of bite about them. Is a bit rougher, maybe in the centre of the park. You need someone to make a bit of a last ditch challenge where the entire crowd go, "Ooh, it's Darren, it's Darren Pratley," and it's nice to have him in there. And yeah, like you say, almost a direct replacement for Cashy, if he can be as good as Cashy and stay fit more than Cashy, then we're laughing.
I thought Big Nabs had a classic Nabby style game yesterday, where there were some moments that were just brilliant. Like there was a couple of ones where he ran out of the defence to cut out passes. There was one sort of on the corner of the Charlton penalty area where we were trying to play it out, and my heart was in my mouth, but he dropped his shoulder and played a simple pass and got another attack going. But at the same time, there's other times where he just gifts the ball to the opposition. He's a real enigma, isn't he, sometimes, Nabby Sarr?
I just can't help but love Nabby Sarr, because he's just like... He just looks like from up in the North Upper when you watched him play football. He's always smiling. he's just like
someone who enjoys the game, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And he's obviously got to get Boya's touch on him, having to get a bit of a nasty streak about him, and maybe a bit more of a run in the first team will do that for him this season. But he has played some really good stuff, and he looks really comfortable on the ball. But again, there are those moments where, you know, you sort of go and just get rid of it, and then he ends up nutmegging three people and going on a crazy run, and then there'll be the other times where he'll go to play a long ball and it'll hit Lee Bowyer.
I'm very excited for the first time that he actually scores like the goal he did against Brighton in pre-season. He scores that in a proper game. I think the valley will erupt in a mixture of joy and shock, which we look forward to. Now, someone else who stood out for me yesterday, and I'm really pleased with this, is Dylan Phillips, a goalkeeper. Now, we've been talking on this show over the last few weeks, ever since, you know, Jed Steers come in on loan from Aston Villa. I've been worried that means that Dylan's going to lose his place. But Bowyer said when he signed him, it's to push Dylan. And in fairness, it has, because I mean, the save he made from the header yesterday in the second half, there was like a header into the from about 8-9 yards out that he tipped around the post. I mean, that was a brilliant save, and I really don't think he's put any feet wrong so far this season.
No, he's done himself absolutely no harm in the way he's played. And I was the same as you in thinking that when Jed Steer came in, maybe other keepers could have been a little bit disheartened if they'd have come through the academy and they've waited year upon year upon year to get their shot. Gets given the number one jersey, probably thinking, fantastic, this is my chance. And then you sign in a keeper of Jed Steer's calibre, you know, Championship, was starting the week before for Villa. A lot of people will probably get disheartened, but he's really pushed himself, and I was impressed with him up at Accrington. I was impressed with him again Tuesday night, and the save yesterday from the header was sensational. Yeah. So I'm really, really happy for him, and I long may it continue, because he's been extremely patient and he deserves his chance.
Yeah, I think probably one of the most exciting moments of play in yesterday's game actually came right in injury time at the end. Cheltenham had a corner that was floated over towards the far post, and George Lapsley got a header on it, cleared off the line, and then we heard it in the highlights there, Fleetwood Town broke and they were literally 4-1 at one point. I think Solly got back and did really well to block it, and realistically that was probably the most exciting football we saw, because other than that, and Bowyer comes out and admits it as well, it was just a bit of a nothing game, really. It was quiet. It was, you know, the ground was quiet. The team didn't lift the supporters at all, really. It's just one of those ones where you're very much reminded that you're in League One.
Yeah, the typical League One fixture. All it needed to be was cold. That's what it needed to be yesterday. Yeah. And it would have been the catalogue League One fixture. But hopefully there won't be too many more of them this season, and we can just kick on.
Hopefully. Right, after yesterday's game, Lee Bowyer normally comes in to speak to Terry, but there was an administrative error in game, which meant that Terry was out there speaking to Dylan Phillips after yesterday's game. So I caught up with Lee Bowyer after the game, and this is what he had to say to me.
It's just one of them days, I think. It's just a bit dull, wasn't it? Like, from start to finish, there was no atmosphere. It just seemed one of them days, you know, but to be fair, like, after Tuesday, like, the effort they put in, they looked a bit lethargic to me, some of the players, and it just seemed a bit sluggish and slow, but to be fair to them, like, I thought they moved the ball well again at the times. So from back to front, like, we've created 20 chances and only hit the target 5, so that's where we're going wrong. So we're getting into good areas, but they're making the wrong decisions still. So I have to look at that myself and try and correct that the best I can. But from back to front, I think we've done all right. You know, Fleetwood, like, they're not a bad side. They just went to Scunthorpe and won 5-0. I can assure you that no other team's going to do that this season. So that just shows that they've got a good way of playing. That's why I changed the formation today, because they can hurt you, and they showed that at times on the break. They broke on us, and Chris Solly at the end there, I think Pagey got caught, and then Chris Solly was 2-1, and then slowed the fella down and blocked the shot from went out for a corner. I think Prattley and Chris Solly were, and Pagey, I think them three was by far our best players today. The others could be better. Let's say they could have been better, the rest of them.
I guess we've talked about sort of decision making in the final third a few times so far this season. We saw, you know, a couple of times today, perhaps when Taylor squares it, perhaps he would have shot, and other times like that. Is it just, I mean, how can you try and help to fix that for the players?
Do you know what it? Did you see what happened there? So then Carlin was in an area, and then he tried to square it to Lyle, I think, in the first half. And then, so then what happens is then Lowell now tries to square it to Carlin. So he's having an understanding. Okay, you've tried to set me up, I'm going to try and set you up. Where before, Carlin shot when he should have squared it. So then Lowell will shoot when he should be squaring it. Do you know what I mean? So the good thing for me is that they're looking for each other now instead of being selfish. So that was the thing I had to get on right. But to be fair, Lowell should have shot. And that's a decision-making situation that he will have to make himself. I can't do that. But the good thing for me is that they're looking for each other now, where before it wasn't like that. So they're looking, and that's better for the team. Trust me, in the long run, that's going to be better for the team. But again, from back to front, like, we're getting in them areas, and where before we wasn't really creating there or getting into them opportunities. But I think, to be fair, Christian, I thought he done okay today as well. In the middle of the park, like, he's been playing centre half, now we've put him in front of the back four, so he was good in possession, I thought. Got caught a couple of times. That's his experience. He'll have to learn that. You can't take too many touches in the middle of the park, but he'll learn. So, yeah. Overall, disappointed we haven't won. But now we've got a full week, and we have to get ready for Southend.
Got our first clean sheet of the season as well, which I guess is always important to get one of those under your belt as soon as possible.
Yeah. We had two cleared off the line from them, so it wasn't bad. As dull as it was around, like, it seemed dull, and it was just quiet, and it wasn't that bad, the performance. But it's just sometimes I said to them, like, you don't play so well, or you just, and the atmosphere isn't there, and you have to just maybe nick a goal from a set play or that, you know, like that. Sometimes it happens, and I'm still waiting for that to happen to us, but sometimes it happens. So, but yeah, no, we'll be good. They'll have a full week's training there, and then we'll be ready for Southend.
You're able to call upon Igor Vetticelli for the first time this season. It's the first time we've seen him in a Charlton shirt in a couple of years now. I mean, what did you make of his sort of cameo in the last half an hour?
Nowhere near fit. he looked like he couldn't even close down in the end, and he was only played for half hour. So that just shows you how much we're rushing him back. We need to get as many minutes into him as possible, because he's going to be big for us this year, and we've got to try and keep him fit. A couple of times he nearly got in, you know, like, but they just got back in time, or just put a little leg out and cleared it. So he's definitely clever. He's a very, very clever striker, and he will score goals in this league for sure. So we just need to build up his minutes and get him as much fitness into him as possible.
Obviously, the loan window is still open. We've seen Charlton linked with a couple of names this week. I mean, do you think there's going to be any movement over the next few days?
Yeah, so Monday, someone should be coming in Monday. And maybe another one Tuesday. That's the plan.
Obviously, after the game on Tuesday, you were quite upset with the referee and with the opposition manager as well. But you've had a charge since then. I mean, do you know what happens now? Do you expect you might get a ban, or do you know how it works next?
I don't know. No, I found out yesterday that I've been charged with something, and I said to Chris Parks that he said you've got a week to go back to him and see what I want to do. So I said, okay, well, let's just do it after the weekend. There's no point rushing it now. I've got the game tomorrow. Today's game was more, obviously, more important. So I didn't want to focus on that at all.
Finally, we know that there's been plenty of headlines about the club away from the football side, and the fans had their say today at the start of the game with the protests that sort of held up the game for a little while. I mean, did you have a view on that?
I was hoping they was going to stop chucking the crisps on, because I thought we was going to score. Well, we got to the byline and Carlin cut it back, and I think Lowe had a shot and it got blocked, and I was thinking, please stop throwing them, because the ref's going to blow the whistle, and then we're in a good scoring opportunity. But apart from that, look, that's nothing. I can't control that. I can't control what the fans are doing or what's happening off the pitch. So my job is to look at and look after what's going on pitch with regarding the players. Anything else is out of my control. I can't control, nothing, can it?
Is it quite easy to sort of keep that sort of stuff away from the players? Because I guess it would affect people that they would work with day to day, some of the headlines about the bonuses and such. So is it just your job to try and just keep it as far away from the players as possible?
Yeah. I have to keep them separate from what's going on. I have to. Because, like I've said in the past, from the minute I took over, I have to try and keep the place as positive as I possibly can. And I think last season, I think I've done that. And I think I've brought everybody back together again, you know. And I want to keep doing that. I want to keep the positivity in and around the football club because, like, I love the club and I want it to be good. I want it to be a happy place, you know. And I want us all to have this, like, journey together. And I want it just to be positive. Obviously, I can't control everything. All I can control is the training ground and on the football pitch.
You're listening to Charlton Live.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, shot. What a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo with a calm left-footed volley. And found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
So welcome back to Charlton Live. It's great to hear from Lee Bowyer after yesterday's game, and you just heard a little snippet from the mascot yesterday, Leah, as well. She seemed to be enjoying her day. Some obviously very interesting stuff from Lee Bowyer. I mean, first of all, obviously we'll come on to the process in a bit, but Lee had his say, and he sort of that's the first time that we've had one of these protests that hasn't had the game called off within 3 seconds. So actually, just ironically, we happen to be having our chance now. Obviously, we still had that chance anyway. He was talking about before, as the ball was going forward, he was thinking, oh no, I hope he doesn't get called off. But it didn't. But it's just interesting to hear that's how he thought about that.
Yeah, I suppose he's a competitive guy, isn't he, Bowyer? He's played the game. So he's thinking about that that hit in the back of the net and the ref saying, no, sorry, there's a pack of prawn cocktail and blocking the keeper's view or something. Yeah, but... you know, that wasn't the case, so it didn't really affect that much, did it? It was just, must be quite weird just standing there and having crisps flying over the top of your head.
I had some hit me in the back.
It was great for you in the media bit, just like whoosh. I heard Terry say he had a couple land in his lap.
Yeah, no, I got hit on the back of the head, and then someone behind me was encouraging me to throw them on, but obviously I'm not a hooligan, so obviously I would be improper, so I just handed them to him and let him do it. Also, obviously, loan window's still open, talk about a couple of signings. Mm. Sounds like Cullen's in the building, from what I've heard.
Nice.
From West Ham, so expecting him to join tomorrow. Josh Cullen, even from West Ham, 22-year-old midfielder. The other one, I mean, I've heard people have been talking about Union OK, and I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the name that's been floating around. But...
yeah, I don't know if maybe he's a bit out of our reach in terms of salary. Or, you know, he's at Leeds, Championship wage, probably earning a decent amount of money. I suppose it depends if they want to do Bowyer a favour, doesn't it? Do their old servant a favour, give him a decent deal. OK would be a good addition, but...
but Cullen in particular, obviously we're looking for someone who's going to replace Jake Forster-Caskey. Do you think, is he the man that will replace him in the midfield? Is he that sort of player, do you think? Or
I haven't heard a huge amount about Cullen. I know he spent a bit of time at Bradford. I think it was that last season he was on loan at Bradford.
And he impressed at Bradford.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so look, any addition at the moment is more than welcome. And we know how much of a miss Jake is. It would be silly to ignore how much we're going to miss him this season. But hopefully, you know, this guy's young, hungry, wants games, he wants minutes, and hopefully he's going to come in and impress.
Yeah, excellent. Right, we've got loads of tweets, emails and messages on the forum to read out. So thank you for joining in. Don't forget, if you want to have your say on anything yesterday, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and leave a message on there. And that's exactly what Mendonca in Asda's has done. He says, happy birthday to me, which is very kind of you. Thank you, Mendonca in Asda's. I don't know about living the dream. Yesterday was a bit of a bore fest, to say the least. We desperately need to get our injured creative players back and sign some new ones as well. Have we got anyone at the club who can put in a decent cross? Well, Pagey can. Pagey can put in one hell of a cross.
Pagey can put in a very good cross.
But he appears to be the only one, unfortunately. But yeah, Lewis Pagey's crosses are absolutely delicious when he gets that right. Mendonca in Asda's carries on. Strikers are crying out for service. We miss Pierce at the back big time, although Naby's done all right. Performance and results all a bit meh. Still recovering from Southend away on Boxing Day, dreading what they might do to us on Saturday if we don't show up. He ends it with hashtag Roland out, hashtag crisps are great. And I can't disagree with that. Yeah, talking about Piercy at the back, for example. Like, I mean, as I was saying, like, Sar's got this... He's got a mistake in him, and I always think he always will do, unfortunately, because that's Naby Sarr. But, you know, say you he's probably... when he's doing it properly, our best ball-playing defender, you'd argue.
Yeah, and to be honest, I look back and I think, like, apart from pre-season, Naby had a bit of a howler, but taking that out of it, he hasn't really made a huge amount of errors, I seem to remember. He hasn't had a huge amount of game time, of course.
It's just giving the ball away and stuff like that,
but,
really.
I look at, you know, Bauer last season down at Wimbledon. That led to a goal. Piercy made a mistake at Bristol Rovers the week before. That led to a goal. So I think you're in that last line, aren't you? And if you make a mistake, you're relying on people around you to recover that. And Naby, of course, he comes across as this, you know, this big unit that could maybe be a little bit sort of, I don't know, just like off balance, isn't he? He looks like he's a bit out of proportion or whatever. But yeah. I mean, the sooner Pierce comes in, obviously it is good because he adds experience and a bit of fire as well. I think he's a bit more of a fierce player than anyone else we've really got in the squad. Him and Prattley through the spine is quite...
Yeah, it's good to see Pierce. Nice. He was on the bench yesterday, obviously didn't come on the first time we've seen it for a little while since he got injured. It was up at Sunderland he got injured, wasn't it?
Yeah,
So hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. It's interesting, actually, excuse me, just looking at some of the tweets that were going around yesterday. Mike Tyson, because obviously on Thursday's show we had Rosie Swarbrick from the Blackpool Gazette, and she was sort of saying about how good Fleetwood were, you know, particularly during that 5-0 win at Scunthorpe during the week. And he was saying he disagreed with what she'd said based on what he'd seen during that day. And I think we only very rarely saw flashes of what Fleetwood is supposedly about, and that's probably towards the end of the first half. They had a bit of a spell where they had one cleared off the line by Pagey, for example. But other than that, he wasn't that impressed. So, you know, maybe that's us keeping them tight. Who knows? Maybe it's them having an off day. Right, F. James says, ineptitude sums up Charlton, I'm afraid. Devoid of any ambition in front of goal. Get a grip. My summary of the game, my rather austere view of the game. I just couldn't get excited. Something has to happen, and quick. I like Marshall, but to see his face when he realised that he was to be substituted... was, in my view, sad. He's a great talent, but just hasn't produced it at Charlton. Not many have, to be honest. Lyle Taylor was pretty useless today as well. Buck up your ideas, lads, or we'll be struggling. I mean, because Taylor came in for a little bit of stick last week as well. I mean, he throws himself about a little bit, but he probably had a more quiet game after the first half yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main criticism I gave him the other week was that when the rub of the green was against him, his head dropped sort of a bit early on, and he maybe didn't give himself the opportunity to grow into the game. Obviously, I wasn't at the game yesterday, so I couldn't judge it. But, you know, he has these little moments, doesn't he, where he looks like he's gonna produce, and he scored a couple of goals this season already, and maybe. I don't know. It's hard for me to judge it because I wasn't there yesterday. So, based on Peterborough, I thought he had a better game at Peterborough at quiet. I thought I got Accrington. Like I say, I think his head dropped early on and he never let himself grow. So
he was involved a fair bit. It was particularly early. Like we saw that chance he had within the first 20 seconds or so. He had a shot from the corner of the penalty area when there was nothing really else on, so he decided to have a pop, and that wasn't a dreadful effort. And like we say, that sort of... you know, decision making when he got slipped through as well, that where perhaps he chose the wrong one. But you know, if he'd shot at goal and he got saved by the keeper at his near post and then didn't go square when Carlin was looking like he might be in a bit of space, then we'd all be screaming at him for not doing that
exactly.
as well.
So, exactly.
Bit of a tough one for him. Right, Ev carries on saying, I'm normally over pro at Cheltenham, but things aren't moving in the right direction. Let's hope that September is good for us. Right, Jonathan Ackworth says, I've been saying it for years, we need a goal scoring coach brought in at the club, someone perhaps like Di Canio, Andy Huntman, Donker and Hales even, who can teach our goal shy strikers where the back of the net is. He said, we had Jack Barham sitting at Greenwich, but now Barnett, did we sat him up, snap him up? No, well, is it, Jack Barham's gone to League 2, oh, it's not even League 2, he's gone to the conference, isn't he? So I don't know whether that would have been a player interesting us at all. David Letchford said, it's because our midfield is rubbish, no one can pick out a pass, and we have no wingers. That is going to cost us big time this season. I mean, we've said it already, but we are desperately going to miss Jake this season, aren't we? Because
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
For me, he was my player of the season last year.
Yeah, 100%. I was actually quite surprised he didn't pick up the award. Still had a great season, but I was Jake all round. He's a great deliverer of the ball. He's great at in dead ball situations. He can bring the ball forward. I think he demonstrated that in the friendly against Norwich when he got that goal, which was off the back of a really good run. But he just has something about him. He was someone that came into the club that maybe hadn't been given opportunities elsewhere from Brighton. And he came here and he made a name for himself. And, you know, it speaks volumes now how much we genuinely all miss having him out on the pitch. And we don't want to see any players injured, but of all the people to lose for the season, I was absolutely beyond gutted that it was him.
Hmm. Sammy gets involved. He says on Twitter, he says, again, we got done by a poor ref decision. Grant was clearly onside when he scored. It's getting ridiculous now. I mean, we did discuss it earlier. I mean, I haven't seen a replay that shows it was clear either one way or the other. And also, I mean, Boya didn't really make anything in the post-match, which normally, if it was a clear one, you'd expect him to have brought it up at least, I guess.
Yeah, unless he was trying to behave himself after the other day. I was quite surprised. There was no Boyer and Barton. I thought that would be a bit fiery on the touchline, but I didn't hear of anything.
No, it was a bit tame, really.
Yeah, I thought two big personalities. Yeah. I thought it might have.
I was expecting Joey Barton to be dressed a bit better. He looked a bit like a. Yeah, it wasn't that dress work well.
No.
I thought he'd be a bit of a snappy dresser for some reason, but he wasn't. He also didn't come into the press conference, because I was quite looking forward to see what he had to say, but he did his one by the side of the pitch, so he didn't get to hear that, unfortunately. Right, Reese has... I've been missing these. Reese has got his notes out on his iPhone again, like a professional footballer. Only 9% battery, Reese. Get that on charge as soon as possible. He says, such a spineless, weak performance. Only Taylor and Prattley played well and made any real impact. Defence was very dodgy and weak and gave the ball away far too often. Lucky they didn't take their chances. Don't know why Boya ever changed from 4-4-2 when Solly and Page clearly aren't good enough to do a job as a wing-back. Offer absolutely nothing down the wing. Don't think Boya is getting the most out of the team. We don't have a good enough squad to mount a serious promotion challenge, but it's still far better than Fleetwood's and Accrington's teams we should be beating comfortably. If I was Boya, I'd be more concerned with the poor performance, not about criticising the fans, saying the atmosphere was bad and it was somehow our fault that we didn't score in the first minute and it was nothing to do with their defender making a block. Now, because I noticed, Bo's obviously came out and said yesterday straight away, I don't think he was being malicious. I just think he was saying it was quiet, and it was quiet. And I think, you know, fair to say the performance of the team didn't lift the fans, because we know that can happen.
Well, exactly. I mean, Tuesday night, the performance was, although we lost, the performance was pretty much there and we were fired up. But you have those games in football sometimes. you're going to get those flat 0-0s. And it's not the fans' fault that they're not motivated. It's also, I don't think Boya's relating to that. I think Boya's just making the point that it was one of those weeks where... Mm.
I mean, it's one
the
of those
players
ones,
aren't feeling it, neither are the fans.
I guess it's one of those ones where you've got to be slightly careful about what you say, because obviously there will be some, like Reese, you saw that as well. You know, everyone's always very proud when there's a good atmosphere. And like, say, Tuesday, you struggle to beat that considering how few people are in the ground. Mm. But, I mean, it was quiet yesterday, but I guess sometimes some fans would prefer if the manager just didn't mention that. He just sort of said the performance was flat. But it sort of did add to the day that it was just a bleh.
Yeah,
it was just a complete flat day.
Yeah,
He points out that he doesn't believe the squad's anywhere good enough for promotion, but I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I just think maybe not in terms of quality. I think more in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Quantity.
Yeah. Right, Lee Bowyer's Red Army, or Kai, says, overall wasn't good enough, couldn't create barely any chances, and the ones we did create, we missed the target. Most of the time, the defence was way too sloppy and gave the ball away on multiple occasions. Decision-making was appalling and has been for the last few games. He gives a score of 2 out of 10. But then he adds, I think our tactics need to change so that Carlin and Lyle don't have to go out wide so often. There's plenty of times. I mean, Carlin, he's a player who has, throughout his career, obviously a very young, fledgling career so far, but you often see him actually playing on the wing. So you can see he gets attracted to the wing quite a lot. But there was, as Kai points out quite correctly there was quite a few times that we saw Lyle Taylor over on the wing as well. And that's always a sign when the striker's out on the wing that he's not getting any service and he's desperate just to try and get
make
the ball.
Something happen for himself, exactly. I saw Lyle actually, he got dragged out left quite a bit when he was at Wimbledon last season. I suppose that sort of sums up they're not exactly the most creative of sides either. So he's obviously got that in him to try and make something happen for himself. And as you touched on with Carlin as well, if something's not working, you're gonna try and sort of drop yourself in, whether it be deeper or wider, to try and get hold of the ball and do something. But it's just not happening for us.
Yeah, right. Mike Tyson says, seen people digging out Dylan Phillips. Don't get that he kept a clean sheet Tuesday, beaten only by a penalty. Accrington could do nothing about their goal. Sunderland slightly at fault if you're being really critical, but no, he's had an excellent start to the season. Yeah, I'll be shocked if people are digging out Fields.
Yeah, I've got to 100% agree with him there. I think Sunderland's the only game you could be slightly critical, but that was his first real league start, wasn't it? Was it his first league start?
Yeah, he had a few last season, didn't he? And the season before, but yeah, I just think he hasn't put a foot wrong. It's one of the things that with the Bowyer interview yesterday, I was actually going to ask him, because it was quite a long one already, and I do want to keep him. I was going to say, like, you must be pleased because you said that Steer has come in to push Dylan, and that's exactly what he's done.
Exactly, 100%, and it's working. And he's, you know, yesterday, clean sheet, yes, pretty rubbish game, but maybe that's sort of rubbing on that. Maybe that's why they're finding a bit of a scapegoat there. Somehow how that can relate to a keeper who's kept a clean sheet, I don't know. Tuesday night, beaten by a penalty that wasn't a penalty. And up at Accrington, made an incredible save, and then the guy follows it up and puts it. He hasn't really put a foot wrong, like you say, so I think it's pretty harsh to be critical of Dylan.
Yeah, right, Matt Brown says, we seem to look more for a pass at times when it would have been better to shoot, and then we seem to just hit shots rather than trying to place them. I have to say, Dylan made some good saves yesterday, which Barton and Hill both pointed out in the dugout. Oh, that's good to hear.
That's good.
It's good to hear that he was getting praise from the opposition bench as well. A fair point. I mean, Bowyer said it himself, that it's just decision-making again. We were passing when we should be shooting and shooting when we should be passing. And like I say, for some reason, that's always been Charlton ever since I started watching him at times. But Wayne said the midfield need to be more creative for the forwards. Now, I mean, I guess if you're looking at the players we have in the midfield at the moment, I guess you're probably the most creative one there. You'd be hoping to pick out the passes would probably be Joe Rebo, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you think he's got that in his locker?
I think he has. I think on the ball, I think Aribo shows real bits of quality. I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, where he seems to get surrounded by players and somehow manage to create the space and play a pass. But again, a very young player. So is it fair putting that weight on the player of that age's shoulders? Probably not. But that's what we've got to look to at the moment. And he's an incredible talent, and I'm hoping, you know, now, like, so you think last year we had Konzas and the Lookmans and stuff like that. Maybe this year he'll be the sort of standout academy guy.
Yeah. Right, Matt says, we seem to look more... sorry, I've already done that one there. Ryan says, no width, no creative spark. A Jose should have come on. Now, it's interesting because I felt when Nicky came on Tuesday against Peterborough, he actually added something a bit different to us. Now, we know that, you know, I know that Nicky's never quite being the Nicky Ajoze we were hoping he would be, but you know, we certainly seem to look a bit more lively up top when he came on Tuesday. So I just wonder if he might have been tempted to do that again, because quite clear to say that he doesn't seem to be Bowyer's first pick for anything, does he? But
no, of course not. And I think maybe he could have come on yesterday instead of Igor. Maybe we're pushing Igor a little bit too much. I got to take it, Ajoze didn't come on yesterday at all, did he? Which is a bit of a shock, because I do think when he came on Tuesday night, he changed the game, and he brought something fresh to it. But he's he's had a full pre-season behind him, really. He's not, of course, he's not had the minutes in the league, but he had a full pre-season, a full programme. So he's obviously, he's in a better physical condition than Vetticelli. So maybe he should have come on yesterday, something could have happened, but you could look at that, but again, it depends what Nicky Ajoze is going to turn up, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Thomas Roper double tweeted earlier, says, would love to listen to Charlton Live tonight, but feel be hijacked by naive people tweeting in that the bigger problem at the club in the past 4.5 years, suspiciously slow takeover and Roland's arrogance and treatment of the whole club, are the protests rather than those managing the club. There's one guy on Twitter telling us the Aussies are going to be amazing, give us a war chest to get us in the Premier League in 5 years and get us in schools and colleges. But that guy will go unnoticed versus the amount of undue criticism that people like Rick Everett will receive tonight. I know this certainly, because obviously we're going to cover the protest in detail. We've got interviews with Card as well, but obviously we've got loads of tweets from people who were at the protest or decided not to go to the protest. We're going to cover it from every side, because that's the nature of the show. Everyone's allowed to tweet in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's certainly been quite a clear division, not between all fans, but you know, there's certainly a section of fans who don't want to get involved with that sort of stuff and aren't happy with what's happening. And there's also a section of fans who are happy to protest and stuff as well. So it's quite interesting, and it's quite you've got to try and manage that quite well tonight, because there's people from both sides. We've got to make sure they're both heard. So straight away, London at Giza, complete non-event. The protest and the match both were turgid, but we got publicity, I suppose, diary the protest, and we got a point. The footage going around on social media about the protest are embarrassing, though. A handful at the window shouting, and a few packets of crisps on the pitch. And actually, he's actually summed it up quite nicely there, London at Giza, because he's got both sides of it there. Like,
yeah,
I mean, if I was at, obviously I was at the protest yesterday, I was covering the protest, I was filming it, I was seeing what was going on. Mm. It certainly wasn't the biggest one in terms of numbers, and photogenically it didn't look that amazing compared to what we've seen maybe 2 years ago. But at the same time, as London at Giza says, it's still got on the back page of the Evening Standard twice this week. It was on the front page of BBC Sport yesterday, the protest, the crisping. No matter what you say about whether you find, I mean, I can't understand how you can find it embarrassing, because who's taking the mick out of you? Like, it's yeah, but it was on the telly, it was on the radio, it was everywhere. BBC London sent down one of their main people yesterday for Charlton Fleetwood, which they would never do. Normally, I'd have that gig. They sent down one of their main people purely because there was a protest. I mean, it got the reaction it was going to get. Now, you say it was, if you say it was, say, a bit of a non-event. Now, I don't know, you know, there's not going to be big explosions and stuff. You're going to come down here, people are going to shout a bit, there's going to be Chris. It might feel like nothing much is happening, but the thing is, it gets what it wants, and that's newspaper headlines. There's not going to be one single protest where all of a sudden Ronan de Chatelet is going to wheel down a window from a car that he's driven past and went, all right, I'm off. Sorry, you guys have sorted that out.
I wish.
Yeah, it's just a drip, drip, drip effect, and this is yet another headline in the papers that even went out into Belgium as well.
Exactly, and it's a bit of a ripple effect, isn't it? You know, you've got, yes, numerically, was the turnout as good as it's been previously? Probably not, but then more people are staying away now. You know, the initial protest, we were playing Championship football, poorly, but we were playing Championship football. The ticket sales were were considerably higher. That was when it was really raw and it was really starting to kick off. And I think some people see it as like, we've done the missiles on the pitch. We've done the shouting at the West Stand. It hasn't done anything. There's no one, you know, there's nobody up there to shout at. Richard Murray's on holiday. Tony Kehoe's somewhere else, blah, 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 blah. But then it's like you've just said, yes, that is the case. But people have turned out. It's got on every single sports media outlet that you can think of. Anything you open, it's there. Jim White was here yesterday. You know, it's getting the coverage, and other fans of other clubs are seeing it, and now the EFL are getting involved, hopefully. And it is making waves. And it's not about how you do it, it's just about doing something. Mm. Tom summed it up perfectly in the week about, you know, yes, people might not think that throwing things on the pitch and chanting at the West Stand is the best way of doing it. Maybe some people think with their, you know, they want to protest by not coming and not lining the pockets. But it's doing something. It's just the fact that you do something, whatever that may be, you never know, how little, how small, as long as whatever it is, it's getting the attention. And people know in the footballing world, people aren't stupid, they know that Charlton are a club on their knees. And every single thing you do, whether it's throwing a packet of crisps on the pitch, whether it's staying away, whether it's just going and chatting outside the West Stand and then not bothering to go to the game, you're still doing something about it. And I think that's where maybe people can be misunderstood a bit and think that, you know, things are a non-event, but they're not really. Everything has its own impact.
So if there was a legal protest that tomorrow you do it, and like I say, Roland was here, or Roland would suddenly fly over and say, "Oh, just let me sign the club away. I don't care." If there was a way of doing that, then people would do it. But
absolutely,
there's not. No, and that's why people. I mean, it's difficult to come up with ideas. Like I say, yesterday's ideas certainly caught the attention. I mean, people say, "Oh, it's embarrassing. It's a gimmick." Well, gimmicks are.
It works.
Gimmicks work. It works. Yeah,
it's like about a ridiculous story about someone having to ask permission to eat crisps at their desk.
That's the funny thing about that story is it was so ridiculous. I mean, like I say, I mentioned it first. I heard that story 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I thought this is just a bit silly. But when you back it up with the fact that it's the bonus situation, and this is the working conditions that people are being forced to work under, that's when it sort of marries up together and it becomes a big story. And we'll hear from Clive Harris from Card in a minute as to why they threw their weight behind the support of the staff, of course. Simon Holland says, really think it's about time the Australian consortium made a public statement about where they are with the takeover. Conflicting information about, one, the EFL waiting for processing paperwork, but two, according to an EFL source that Rick Everett tweeted about, he said that EFL say that's not the case. That they're aware of. So what's going on? So obviously the conflicting stories there. The club in their fans forum message suggested that there was some sort of paperwork issue that they're waiting for from the Australians. Rick Everett said that he had a source that said this isn't true. So I mean, obviously with the Australians, there's going to be some sort of non-disclosure agreement. There always is in big deals like this. But do you think if it was possible, because they had released a statement a while ago? I mean, judging by the statement that came out from the club this week without the Australians, nothing's changed according to that. So if they come out and release another statement, is it just going to say the same thing?
More than likely. I mean, I don't know what paperwork they're waiting to process. it takes a really long time, whatever it is. But
would you ever do that? I mean, whenever I get like to change water, like change your energy supply, and you've got a form to fill in, it's like, oh, I'll leave it for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll leave it for a bit. Yeah, that must be what it is. That's got to be it.
Right, back to the football. John Pitch has said, lack of midfield creativity. Marshall was anonymous. Aribo not at his best, and Prattley not suited at all to an advanced midfield role. Liboya needs to find a creative spark, and soon, or we'll be seeing a lot more performances like this. Right, 100% Charlton sent us a screenshot from Lyle Taylor's Instagram, which we'll come on to later because you've got that ready as well, Lewis. Tim Jackson, hi all. Yesterday was a black day for our club. Not enough fans to make a protest worthwhile. Awful football and an exhausted team. A mental exhaustion from 4 years of fighting Roland, leaving fans unable to support the team or protest. He says, glad that we're away next week. Yeah, but we're away to Chris Powell as well. It's going to...
Just makes it even worse.
Yeah, kick you when you're down. Ev says, our midfield is our void, but if we do get O'Kane, I think he's saying, and Fosu and Reeves, and eventually a fully fit Clark, then we'll steamroller this league. Only 4 games gone, lads. Well, obviously, five games in now. Still plenty of football left to be played. Crizzy says, a desperately depressing day. The arguments between the fans, especially at the poorly attended protest, then the bloke behind me shouting at me to sit down during the crisp throwing. Toothless team, bitterly disappointed, but at least the protest was noticed by the press. excuse me. Yeah, it was interesting, actually. Like I said, anyone who was at the protest yesterday, there was this bizarre situation where it all got a bit unnecessary. With a couple of fans who are on the stairs going up. Now, I know the fan. I know him quite well. Whenever you hear the words Charlton Live on this show, it's him saying it. He was the fan who got involved. So basically, I went up and spoke to him after because, you know, he's a good guy and I know him. And I've never seen him in a situation like that before.
Yeah.
And understanding of the situation is that he's a season ticket holder. He was going up to his seat with his son. And there was a shout from downstairs. I'm not sure exactly who it was. I don't think it was from one of the main Card people, for example, but it was someone who was attending the protest. Something on the lines of, what are you doing? Why are you giving him money? And obviously that is one of the splits in the fan base at the moment. Is there some people who don't care about Roland, but this person's not in that situation. They're someone who does care about the situation, has attended marches before. had crisps in his pocket, ready to do whatever with, part of the protest. But at the same time, he wants to go and watch football with his son. Now, that's, you know, that's exactly. Some people, and more than entitled to do that. You know, none of us have stopped going to games, but a lot of people have. So that's why it got a bit heated, and excuse me, and it was disappointing to see that, because I think it's worth remembering that as a fan base, you want to try and stay as together as possible. You know, according to the fans saying it, Roland is the enemy here, you know, not other Charlton fans. Now, there's, exactly. Like I said, there's so many different lines of Charlton fans. There's Charlton fans who want to protest Roland but don't like Card. I mean, they're wasting their energy moaning at Card unless they're going to do something themselves, if we're being realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's Charlton fans who, obviously part of Card, if they start moaning at fans who also want Roland out, they would be wasting their energy as well. It's all, you've got to try and keep the fan base together and just remember what the one aim is. Now, don't forget, there are people who, like I say, don't care about Roland and just want to watch the football, and they're probably, and you know, they're more than entitled to have their say, but you know, it's such a difficult situation to try and balance as well. Right, I need to rest my voice slightly, so I think it's time to hear one of our interviews. We've still got two interviews left to come. We've got one with Clive Harris from Card, which we'll hear in a second. We've also got one with John Barnes from the Roland Out Today party over in Belgium, which we'll hear in a few moments' time. We've still got all your emails to come as well. Plenty of good stuff in here. But yesterday, like I say, before the crisp protest, I went and had a chat with Clive Harris from Card, just to find out what it's all been about for them this week.
It's been an amazing week for the amount of coverage we've had across every media platform, and one that really resonated us was this story, the suggestion that members of staff had to ask their line manager to find out if they could eat crisps or not at their desks. And I mean, it's just so obvious for now that we supply those crisps for us. So what we've done today is, I think we've bought every packet of crisps that's available in Southeast England, and the intention is to hand them out. And people can do what they want to do with the crisps. They don't taste great, but they're eminently throwable. So let's hope that goes down well.
Obviously, the crisp story is a bit of a ridiculous story that's caught the attention this week. But it's come on the back of a much more serious story in terms of the club staff bonus situation. And you know, adds on to it, it talks about the sort of pressure they have to work under.
Yeah.
But obviously, the bonus situation is one that Card have sort of thrown their weight behind the staff for as well.
Well, 100%. We've now moved into a different phase of what has been an appalling 4.5 years, Lee. But now when we get to the stage where our own staff are not being paid bonuses that they've worked extra hours for. These aren't highly paid members of staff. This isn't our players as such. These are people that put in the hours to enable us to put on a game so people can still come and watch and follow Charlton Athletic, no matter how bad things get. And for them to be punished by Duchatelet, it's just appalling. And that's why we've got the media behind us. I think we've got nearly every supporter that comes along will be behind us as well. That's why we've got our Greenwich councillors writing letters in opposition to it. I mean, there is no one now that doesn't realise the state of this club.
Obviously, behind a bit of anonymity, the club staff have written an open letter to Roland Duchatelet as well. So that's another stage, because we've never really heard on the record any sort of disgruntlement coming out from within the club until this week.
No, certainly not publicly. And, I mean, that shows exactly where we are now. And more power to them, more credit to them. You know, we will stand with them and we'll offer them whatever advice, support they need to get them through this so that they end up getting paid for the work they've done already. This needs to be sorted out, and that's why the authorities, I'm glad, are now starting to pay their attention to this as well. This is more than just a protest. I never believed we'd get to this stage where the club members would get involved with us, staff members get involved with us, but here we are.
And obviously, as you mentioned there, the EFL wrote a letter, well, a statement yesterday saying that they're willing to go and meet with the Supporters Trust and with the club themselves to get to the bottom of the situation. I mean, what did you make of that, what they've said so far at the moment?
Well, it's a start, isn't it? I mean, how much they can do, how much they can achieve, we don't know. But I think it's pretty unprecedented for the EFL to actually get to almost an intervention stage. At least they want to speak and listen and find out for themselves. How much power they've got, we don't know. But we've asked the questions. The Supporters Trust, in particular, have done well to get them to engage with us. And on the back of this week's coverage, I'm glad that the EFL are finally listening to the problems of this football club.
Well, is there a view that you have on what you would like the EFL to do? Because, I mean, they're probably in a fairly difficult situation in terms of, you know, any punishment on the club will probably just affect the fans anyway. Roland Duchatelet is still the owner of the club, so they can't really just force him to sell the club. So, I mean, what do you think that they can actually do?
I think it's a pressure across every level now. I don't think one single incident will land the knockout blow. But, you know, with members of Rot overseas in Belgium on his back door, with us doing this today here at the Valley with our supporters, with the EFL writing letters, with local MPs or councillors writing letters as well, MPs backing us in all this, eventually de Châtelet realises that if he's true to his word that he wants to get rid of this club, he needs to get rid of this club quickly and stop thinking about these ridiculous prices that we assume that he's asking for that's preventing the sale to go through. It needs to happen now because it's not good news. While de Châtelet is still involved in football, it's no good news for anyone, including himself.
What about the job that Lee Bay is doing under all these pressures as well?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, and switching back to my sort of historian head, I think we'll look back on this in 30 years' time and just think it's incredible he's achieving what he's achieving. And there's a wonderful sense of irony that when we look at the two bright sparks in all this, we've got Johnny Jackson and Lee Bowyer, which are two figures that actually the people who support this club can identify with. They're not imports from de Châtelet's regime. So, you know, the last thing we want to do is affect the players. I don't think it does affect them. I think the records that shows for itself, and we've had protests, they've actually performed because we've managed to generate an atmosphere. Get behind the team by all means, but let's get behind the staff as well, and it's about them today.
So it was great to hear from Clive Harris from Car just so to explain a little bit more about the protests and to hear it from the horse's mouth as such. I'd like to say so thanks to Clive for joining us there. We're obviously keen to point out that they still, you know, whether you come to games or not, the protesters all still support Cheltenham.
Exactly.
You know, they wouldn't be doing it if they didn't care.
No, 100%. It's like we've said, people may find their own ways to vent, but Card is a fantastic thing. People may not agree with me, but I think everyone is pushing for the same goal, and Cards have their way of, you know, wanting to make that happen. That's their effect, and that's how, and it's proved that it's worked. It's got international media, it's got press, and I think that they should be well supported. But, you know, of course people are going to have different opinions to me, but everyone wants the same end game at the end of the day, and we're all Charlton fans, and that's it.
Excellent. Right, Chris Davin sent us an email yesterday. It says the subject line is dull. It says, just got back from the Valley. How dull was that? Nothing happened for 90 minutes. The official attendance was under 9,000, but I'd say realistically it was under 5,000. Though the officially 80 Fleetwood fans were in attendance. He reckons it was only 40. I didn't actually count, but the official amount was 80, which is interesting. Cause the first
you could have counted. It was that bad of a game. Probably could have killed some time.
I probably could have. The official attendance from Fleetwood the first time they came was 89. Then it went up to 100 and something last season. Now it's gone back down to 80. So I really want to know what happens to, like, that 20-30 that just 1 week, like, oh, I can't be bothered this week. Right, safe to say the boycotters boycotted their day. After the damp squib of a turnout, it's safe to say that Card are a busted flush. Not their fault, but if you urge boycotting fans to turn up and protest and they can't be bothered, I think it's safe to say Card have had their day. To be honest, the crisps on the pitch fiasco was a farce. Fans are all protested out. I know you boys back Card until your dying day, but you can't dress today's protest up as anything other than a massive flop. Sadly, there had to be a man with a megaphone at the front of the protest, even more cringeworthy, to be honest. As for on the pitch, a very poor game. Fleetwood and us were both pants. God knows what that woman from the Blackpool Gazette was on about on your show on Thursday. Barcelona-esque, they were not. I mean, she's not going to come out after they just beat them Scunthorpe 5-0 and say, actually, they're pretty rubbish. She was just 5-0.
She was living on that high. Yeah. She's still up there.
Yeah, this league is even more hopeless than last season, which is why I can see us making the playoffs. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the things we've gone through, though it's hurting me. Now it's history. I've played all my cards. That's what you've done too. Nothing more to say. No more ace to play. Chris Davin always signing off with a musical influence there, and I always enjoy those. Cheers for your email, Mr. Davin. Phil DM'd us, says, hi guys, I went to the Card protest yesterday. Pretty lame, to be honest. However, it got plenty of media coverage to embarrass the regime, which has to be a good thing. And that's the point, you know, what Phil said. And even, I think, the majority of emails said, even if it wasn't like the explosive, it wasn't Notting Hill Carnival we were attending. It was a protest against someone who wasn't even there. Mm. But it still got the headlines, and I think that's the main thing that you're trying
to
achieve.
That's the important bit.
Phil carried on and says, I then turned around and walked away and did not attend the match. I have to say I felt very choked up. What this man de Châtelet has done to this club, how can no senior staff not attend a home match? How low can they go? Hopefully the EFL are getting involved. We may get some answers, although I fear they will do nothing. Good point that yesterday, no senior staff here. Richard Murray wasn't available.
I think that's
Tony Kiahan. I mean, obviously people have other things to do during the season, but when this is the senior member of staff, I mean, you'd hope that. I mean, who was it who greeted like the guy from Fleetwood, the chairman at Fleetwood, was meant to be a nice bloke. If he was there, who was it who sat him down for lunch?
Terry, I reckon.
The Terry. No, Terry would never say no to a bit of lunch, as we know. Right, Dan Farmer says yesterday's game. First of all, happy birthday, Louis. Cheers, Dan. Hope you had a great day. Right now, about the game. There's a word before poor that I can't read out there, Dan. But poor, in my opinion, not a lot of creative spark at all. Aribo didn't look great. Maybe he was tired. I mean, Boya did say he felt that the players looked a bit lethargic, didn't he? So I imagine he agrees with Dan there. Tuesday night was the same kind of performance, but with no creativity at all. Players looked tired, so that could be why the performance has dropped. Good to see Igor back, but I don't know why Jose didn't come on as look good against Peterborough, similar to what was mentioned earlier. I'm going Southend Saturday, so let's hope that Boya gets them two players in, because we need them. Protest is what it is. At least Carter's still getting the message out there. I spoke to Jim White at half time. Might have chewed his ear off a bit about Roland. He says, anyway, on to Southend. Need the 3 points ASAP. Good cheers for your email, Dan. Yeah, he mentions again. Good to see the message still getting out there. And he spoke to Jim White. So Jim came.
It's not a bad day, really, all around. Yeah, all the football. Jim White's a cool guy, isn't he?
It's funny enough, actually. So I was I knew he was going because someone had mentioned it to me, but I just forgot to look out for him. And I was sitting up in my seat. I was like, I forgot, I didn't see Jim White anywhere. That's a bit annoying. And then someone sent me a video of they were trying to film Jim White, and they got half a second of Jim White, and then I just brazenly walk in to the shot. So I was stood right next to him.
I
was stood right next to him, and I didn't see him. Excuse me. Right, Mark Newry says, Balance says, evening guys, and to think I gave up an afternoon of nappies to watch that game. I'm guessing that's his first game of the season, actually, so good to see you got down to it, Mark. Wasn't the worst I've seen, but it came down to not having a balanced midfield, and also Marshy going missing. How many times have we said that, unfortunately? We missed Jake Forster-Kaski getting on the ball and looked better when Lapsley came on. Thought Prattley was man of the match, but he is a potty mouth. And after hearing what he had to say to the ref after being booked, also lucky not to get a second yellow. Well, you have to DM me what that was, Mark. I'd be quite interested. Dylan's save was even more impressive from behind. That's where he sits, right behind the goal. And it might keep the naysayers quiet about him. Also, my first time seeing the Arsenal guy, I'll see Christian Billick, and I was impressed, but can't see where he's going to fit when Pierce is back. Cheers from Mark. Well, he did play sort of when we had the Diamond yesterday at one point, he was playing in front of the back four, which is where he can play. I mean, again, you saw him up at Aki. He looks quite calm on the ball, obviously very early days, and he's a very young man, only 20 as well, but impressive so far.
Yeah, he looks fairly comfortable on the ball, and he provides a bit of backup as well. For, you know, he's been saying lately, Boya, about Prattley sort of been really pushed to his limits. So if he starts to tire, you know, Billick can sort of sit in there and play in more of a defensive midfielder role rather than in the back as part of a back four. But it's good to have that option. You know, he can play between those two positions, which is nice, with a bit of flexibility.
Yeah, and well, like I say, because he is so young, it'll just be interesting to see how many games he can handle. But yeah, I've liked looking so far. Very tall.
He's very tall.
I'm sure he passes the Charlton Life height test. Right, Charlton. This email comes in from Mark Wilson. Says Charlton in real trouble now. We know the club was without a chief executive, a finance officer, a full-time manager, and let's face it, a strategy. And we are all well aware that fans have gone missing in their droves, choosing to do things that are more fun than watching the husk of a club battling out a 0-0 draw. Passion has been replaced by apathy, and that is very damaging. But everything is cyclical. Throughout the club's history, there have been peaks and troughs. The Premier League years were preceded by exile. The late 80s on-field success was preceded by the early 80s financial meltdown. Promotion in the 70s was preceded by years of underperformance. The FA Cup final win was preceded by a defeat the previous year. What goes around comes around. So while we have sunk to what appears to be an all-time low, remember, it's darkest before the dawn. Roland du Châtelet is on his way out. One way or another, he will be gone. And he is the sole person holding the club back. His demise is the key that unlocks the next upswing in Charlton's fortune. So keep the faith, he'll be gone soon. And the success we've all been starved of will gradually return. That's a brilliant,
love that,
brilliant email, Mark. Thanks for that. And, you know, we've been Charlton fans, all of us, for many, many years. You know, we've seen good times and we've seen bad. Obviously, we're very much in the trough at the moment, but hopefully the peak will be back soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It's, you know, it's we're all long-suffering. We've all been through it. I know since I've been on this show, it's been through, like, the the real tough times. We've probably seen each other go through some seriously serious lows at Charlton at the moment. But, you know, we're all looking forward to that day when eventually it is all over. And that email sort of really gives us something to... It's a bit of positivity to latch on to, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is going to happen at some stage. It might not feel like it right now, but it is. He wants to sell. And it will happen eventually. And when it does... This place will be fantastic.
Excellent. That's a brilliant email there from Mark. So thanks for that, Dan. Briordi says, no whip and no crisps. Good evening. Most of our play is pretty good. Very impressed with Lewis Page, who's providing our only whip at the moment. However, Marshall remains an enigma. He really should be tearing up teams, but he just does not take anyone on. Prattley is excellent, works hard for me, and is more reliable than Cashy. And as such, I don't think Cashy has really missed. And I think that's a fair point, actually. So far, I mean, obviously, in terms of squad size, we'll work that out at some point. But
yeah,
I think that's a good point. So still very confident about the team. I think we will come good. I thought Fleetwood were pretty good. They have some good players, and their right wing player was a threat and a strength that we clearly lack. By the way, is it true that their fans travel back on the team bus? I don't know if that's a joke or not, but I do know at non-league level, sometimes, for example, Bromley would sell seats on the team bus just to help you get to and from games back in the day. So maybe Fleetwood are still, with all due respect, still operating on that size of fan base at away games, so maybe. But there was very few of them. But, you know, fair play to them. I've got a lot of respect for Fleetwood as a club, and it's a nice club to go and visit.
Yeah, apart from the music they play when they score.
Oh, yeah, that's annoying. That's horrendous. Yeah, but that's our own fault for conceding.
Yeah, absolutely.
It says, regarding Du Châtelet and the crisps, I thought that the idea was quite amusing, but they do not lend themselves to being thrown any distance, and as such, the protest was a bit stale. Should have used kettle crisps. Yeah, we were discussing this in the pub after, like, in the studio.
The heavier crisps.
Yeah, in the studio before the game, I made Stubbly go and stand right by the far wall and see if I could throw the crisps at him, just to see how much distance I could get on him. Yeah. I was a bit worried. And then we said after, kettle crisps, heavy crisps, like that.
Yeah,
Paul Scratchings. Would be brilliant.
They would go.
So who knows?
No skips and quavers.
No, none of that. It says, for me, the card protest seemed to have run its course. Du Châtelet will sell when someone comes in with an offer, and in the meantime, he is subsidising us to a significant degree. Who knows what he's going to be replaced with and what funds they will have? I mean, that's always the risk you're going to take, but I think people will say, particularly at this moment in time, it's quite clear that there's not a great deal of money coming in now. You know, enough to keep the club running and to pay the bills, which is obviously could be worse in that case, but, you know, not really enough to get this club back into the Championship, which is what we want to see, of course. Earlier on, I mentioned earlier on that we the Roland Out Today party standing in a local election over in St Trudan, Roland's hometown, later on this year. And so I wanted to find out what they've been up to this weekend, because they've been over in St Trudan this weekend leafleting, I understand. So I spoke to John Barnes. Now, I know John. I've spoken to him about this sort of stuff before, but also he came on the bike ride that we did earlier on in the summer to Amsterdam, because often some of the accusations you get thrown at people who like Card and Rot and stuff is, oh, they're not proper Charlton fans. Well, John came on the bike ride, and that was a massive Charlton family event, that was charity event, you know, that John's a proper Charlton fan, so no one could ever throw that accusation at him. But he is also, as I say, protesting against Ronald Du Châtelet by standing, I don't know if it's him specifically who the candidate is yet, I don't know if that's been announced, but by part of the party that's going to stand in the local election over in Belgium. I spoke to him earlier to find out what they've been up to this weekend.
We've got a load of leaflets made up before we left about the question of Du Châtelet not being prepared to pay bonuses to the staff at Charlton. We thought that might be of major interest to people in St Trudan who perhaps work for one of his businesses. So, you know, we just sort of warned them that they should perhaps be careful and considered about any promises we made to them regarding payment. And we delivered 10,000 leaflets right across the town. Yesterday we had a few remaining ones that we delivered today. Today we've also visited the hotel and the Stein Cafe and left some leaflets there, the last ones we had.
And what sort of reaction have you been getting from the locals?
We've not actually interacted a great deal with the locals on this occasion, although this morning I was out walking and was approached by a chap who's a candidate by the local Socialist Party here, and he was very interested in our message and was aware that you know, we'd been around leafleting, and said that there were a lot of people who sympathised with our opinion of the chaplain and would like to chat with us and meet us. And we're hoping to meet with some of his friends later on today. But generally, over this, on this visit, as I say, it was primarily to walk the streets and deliver leaflets. So we haven't sort of met up and spoken with too many people up to now.
Because obviously the setup of the Roland Out Today party is planned because you've got this election, this local election coming up in October, I believe it is. How comes you've decided to stand in this in his hometown?
Well, we just thought it was another way to shine a bit of a focus on who Chaplain and the sort of person he is, and certainly we've done a lot of digging and delving, and there's a lot of questions over, at least in our opinion, there's a lot of questions about his sense of fairness in terms of taking advantage of his position as a leading business person here, and also a local politician in the past, taking advantage of that to his own benefit. So that was perhaps one of the angles we thought we could use to try and undermine him, annoy him, put pressure on him. And that was the idea with the election. And of course, it sort of sat nicely with what we would, you know, see as the best traditions of Charlton fans in their activism, you know, going back to the Valley Party, sort of seemed to be congruent with that. So that was the thinking, really.
And have you had any sort of interaction with Du Châtelet, or do you know sort of what his views are on the fact that you guys are standing in a selection out there?
No, he's been pretty quiet about what we're trying to do. Apart from his initial reaction back in December when we launched, and he dismissed us really as a British, quirky British humour, that sort of thing. I think is what he said. Of course, since then we have actually spoken to him to some extent, but we've talked about football really rather than local politics on those occasions. One thing is for sure, he knows that we're here this weekend, and he knows about the leaflets, as we, as you would expect, we delivered the leaflets to his mailbox as well as his neighbours.
And I guess a lot of work has gone into the setup of the party and the planning and that around the party over the last few months.
Yeah, it's been quite intense actually, particularly the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've had a bit of a push to try and make ourselves a little bit more known by the fan base and try and drive up the membership a little bit, which we've been successful with. And also, preparations for coming over here, getting leaflets designed or translated, and making contact with people here who give us a little help from time to time. So it's been pretty intense. Of course, the busiest time was actually setting up and getting prepared to launch the party back in the end of last year. But recently, these last few weeks been quite hard.
And can fans still sign up to be part of the Roland Out Today party?
Yeah, indeed, yes. And the more the merrier, the more expertise and help that we can enlist, the stronger we can be. So they can sign up by paying a £10 membership fee, and they can do that by PayPal using the email address members@RolandOutToday.eu.
Cool, and finally, obviously, you've been part of the Belgium 20 group, and you've been over to Belgium on quite a few times. So, are you a person who thinks that the most effective protesting will be happening within within Belgium or within Roland's hometown?
I think so. I mean, obviously, it's difficult to know for sure, but I think he feels quite uncomfortable knowing that people are sort of there and prepared to confront him and confront him directly. You know, we believe that that really does sort of ramp up the pressure on him. And hopefully, you know, we'll see the benefits of that as we go forward.
So thanks to John Barnes for joining us on the phone earlier this afternoon, standing for election over in Belgium. It would be funny if they actually got in, wouldn't it?
It would be great.
They have to start dealing with like bin collections and stuff like that. But yeah, good luck to the guys over there taking the message over to Roland's hometown. Right, a couple of more messages came in on the Charlton Life forum. So Red Army says happy birthday to me. Thank you. It says regarding the game, I felt it was drab. And more importantly, not sure of Bowyer's style of play and really beginning to be concerned that we don't have the quality or the quantity of players to even challenge for promotion. Takeover situation is also utterly ridiculous. Apathy has set in well and truly. It's a long way back. And I don't think we're going to be challenging for promotion at all this season, unfortunately. I mean, maybe I'll be proved wrong when the injuries come back, but we'll see. Right, Rudders 22 said, me personally, he will go. Keep up the pressure from all along. The crisp was a good idea, but not much to delay the game. What about mini footballs next time with all of Roland's failures messages on the footballs? That'd be quite interesting. I don't think there'd be enough footballs to list all of Roland's failures. Finally, one last tweet comes in from London Iggy. It says, got to say our club is suffering, but you boys are top dollar keeping us together Sunday and Thursdays throughout the dark times. Well, thanks very much for that, London. You're very kind of you. You're one of our listeners who gets involved more as well, so we thank you for that as well. But thanks to everyone who gets involved, of course. We've actually run out of time. That's flown by for me. I was worried after such a boring game yesterday that we struggled to field that, but there was so much to talk about. So many people got involved, so we thank you for that. Lewis, thank you for coming in.
No problem, Louis. Cheers. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. We'll be back, don't forget, on Thursday when we'll be looking forward to next Saturday's visit to Roots Hall to take on Chris Powell's Southend United, so we can all get our knickers in a twist about Chris Powell and we can have that argument about we love him too much or exactly. Don't love him enough. So looking forward to that, but anyway, thanks for listening to all of you. Thanks for all your emails and tweets as well. Let's hope that Charlton absolutely smash Chris Powell's Southend next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.